Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This was pre-recorded in a safe location before stringent measures were put in place.
It's a Blossom Podcast. It's a Blossom Podcast. It's a Blossom Podcast. It's a Blossom Podcast.
Live from the not in a pub.
That's a good way to start, isn't it?
That one, it. It came out my eyes as well. Like. Do you ever have that when you do like a burp and it comes
like
out
a fizzy
eyes?
Burp?
Yeah, yeah.
Out your eyes.
Because you just had a fizzy drink, innit?
Yeah, like it makes your eyes water.
I've had that. It like burns your eyes.
Yeah, the backs of your eyes.
Yeah. Like when you've had a fizzy Coke or
yeah.
A fizzy Coke, you can't get a flat Coke, can you? You can if you want, but
trust roll me. A cola.
you ever had one in Wetherspoons?
Oh, right. Shout. Yeah, yeah.
Roller.
Yeah.
My tears have burnt before a little bit. Reason I noticed that is yesterday I was watching the just like, you know, you're scrolling through the news, which is obviously all everyone ever does now. This is just this video of the Queen came up, and for some reason I just got like overwhelmed with emotion.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And I'm not like, you know,
and what
obviously,
do you mean?
I'm obviously like, I had
like she's old.
Yeah, well I'm not like a fanatic of the royals,
what
but
the fuck?
Just like, you know, when you watch it like. Just she's like, she's really old now, isn't she?
Yeah. She's quite privileged just, though, isn't she?
And something,
what
something,
did you say then?
And something just struck me. That I just like, I just started crying a bit, basically. And
Biles, but she's quite burned. Privileged.
She's got a fuckload of gold, hasn't she? She's sound.
She's left the palace.
I thought she was in the palace.
No, she's gone.
Is she?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, do you mean amongst all this?
She drove herself out of the palace.
With no seatbelt on.
No, she, yeah, whoa, let's go. Bullshit. You ready? The Queen doesn't have to have a driving licence or take her test.
What, she can just have one?
Doesn't have to take a driving licence or have a test. Or need a passport.
She's got a forklift licence, though.
But yeah, she just... But yeah, she doesn't need a driving licence. But she drives on the road, you've all seen the photos.
So the privilege of being the Queen, you get to... You don't have to take your test.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Can the Queen still kill people with a sword and shit? Is that still
a thing? Was that ever a thing?
Yeah, I've been there. Like, wasn't there a point in time where you didn't have to take a driving test?
No, you've always had to take a driving test.
But wasn't it just like drive to the end of the road, turn it back?
You have to retake your test when you turn 70, don't you, I think?
Bullshit, fact or failure.
I think...
Well, I've seen pictures of the Queen driving.
Yeah, but
did she have to take a test?
I'm saying she doesn't have to take a test. And she doesn't have to have a license.
Maybe the Queen or someone who's in charge of whatever doesn't have to, but she has done because she drove in the war. And they wouldn't let her drive in the war pre-Queen without taking a fucking driving test. So I don't know.
I think it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's got to have taken some form of test.
It's fact.
Okay.
The Queen doesn't need to take a test because the license is issued in her name. So she had to learn to drive, but she didn't need any test. It's the same. That's why the Queen doesn't have a passport.
What? So she gets.
So it's because it's issued in her name.
What about people
she
who
she can't issue it in her name to herself?
So how do you prove if you're the Queen? Someone could be an impersonator and be like, "I'm the Queen." Do you know what I mean?
You just know it's not, don't you? Like,
yeah,
do you mean?
Yeah, but she'll have a passport that says "fucking Elizabeth II."
Oh, no, she doesn't have a passport because it's issued in her name. That's what I'm saying.
Guarantee there's some guy on YouTube who's, or is right. Someone should get. A production company to try and impersonate the Queen's fraud. You'll get arrested. Don't do that.
But yeah, it's because it's issued in her name. She doesn't need it. There you go. Fact. And I got you all.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
That was a good one for me, wasn't it? That I didn't plan that or anything. It came up and I was like, oh, I know a bit of bullshit.
You know facts.
Facts or bullshit.
Better than me crying on the sofa about the Queen. Right? It's
funny that.
That's fucking funny.
And that's
did you
also
pop
a
sob or was it just like
no, it's
tears,
just like yeah, you know,
burning
whoa,
tears.
Whoa, actually, yeah, you said burning. Where does the burning side come to it?
Well, I've been using a lot of hand sand.
Yeah.
It's soaked into your system.
It gets into the blood. Thing is, it's ironic because I've been using, you know.
Yeah, we were talking about this before.
Yeah,
so
obviously.
In recent times.
Yeah, in recent times. We're not doing this from a pub.
No, we're not.
So we're doing it from a Charlie and Josh's
humble abode.
Yeah. Welcome, Sticks. Guys.
But we were saying before, Josh is like prepared for this moment for
quite a while. We've always touched upon Josh's anxious tendencies and cleanliness, and you know, getting ill has been something you've always kind of
had to battle with.
Yeah,
you haven't. Do you want to touch upon it more?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've always been quite sanitary and very conscious of how clean a situation is. So, for example, the Buxton line, which I've used frequently for my entire life.
That train line.
Yeah, Northern Rail. For example, I won't make skin to surface contact. Mm. I will use like a house key to touch the door opening buttons.
Yeah. Fucking yeah. Hell.
And I've done that for years. You know, I'll just take my house key out and be like, well, that's like a miniature antibacterial bridge between me and this service that potentially tens of thousands of people have touched.
That's,
you know,
fucking genius.
And so I've done that for years, and I've also, you know, I've carried, well, it's hard to do so these days because you can't buy it, but I've, all, you know, carried sanitized. My skin is in quite poor condition from years of abuse.
Well, you've always had, every time we go somewhere, you've always had a tote bag with sanitizer in it.
Yeah.
Just while you talk about the train one, when we get the, you know, like the Virgin train out to London.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never touch the toilet bit with my hands.
I never do that. I always use my knee.
Handrail.
Yeah. Very, very dirty though.
Yeah, it's usually my knee or my elbow.
Yeah, I always use my knee. I think that Alan Partridge touched on that, didn't he? I think it's so funny that.
But yeah, carry on, Josh.
Yeah. And then another one, recent times, because obviously when we've done quite a lot of flying and travelling as a group. And
humidiflyer.
Miles got me onto the humidiflyer. Big up humidiflyer.
I saw Miora Massa on a plane with it, and I was like, "What the fuck's that?"
And Miles, because like I always get these hideous throat infections.
You always get ill on the flights, don't you?
Yeah. And Miles was like, "Maybe you should try these," and I got one. And since, you know, touch wood, since I've been using these on flights, I've been absolutely fine. But I've also been deep cleaning my sitting environment as well.
Like Naomi Campbell does.
Naomi Campbell.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that's before it was cool. Oh, so yeah.
Tell us about the money.
Yeah, what did you do last night to your money, Josh?
Oh no, let Charlie. So obviously Charlie and Josh live together now. Where we are now, we're in their house. It's lovely.
Cheers.
But obviously you'll notice each other's what's the word? Quips, yeah.
Yeah.
And oddities. So
I returned home from last night and I noticed Josh had been pottering around the kitchen as he usually does. And I noticed the drying rack, which is next to the sink, and there was a crisp £10 and £5 note casually drying in the drying rack, adjacent to a cereal bowl full of change.
I love that.
Disinfecting.
Desperate times call for desperate measures. Well, I'd been to the co-op, and I very rarely have cash on me. I prefer to
contactless.
Use contactless, obviously. Regardless of the times.
The Queen doesn't carry cash, does she?
She doesn't need to, because it's issued in her name. I don't know.
I just thought, you never really think about cash, do you? I mean, in general, regardless of a pandemic.
Oh, the cleanliness.
Yeah,
of it,
you think, you know, think many people have handled this this thing. So I was like, you know what? We've got plastic money now. I've still got a paper 20 upstairs. That obviously, I'm still struggling.
You threatened to burn that last night, didn't you?
Yeah, threatened to burn that one.
£20, don't burn it. I'll take it off you before you burn it.
Yeah, all right. I was doing the surfaces, you see, with the Dettol spray.
Yeah.
Giving them a good clean and doing all the handles, which I've been doing every sort of 45 minutes. So I was like, I reached into my pocket to because I was like, oh, I've got my pocket here. I was like, oh, there's money in here. So I took it out, washed my hands immediately, and then I just began to spray I sprayed the money each side, and then let it sort of soak for a minute. Then I got a sponge, and in the sink I like sponged it down, and then I was like, oh, I've got loads of change here as well. You know, that change has like microscopic grooves in it, which is obviously a breeding ground for bacterium.
Bacterium. Yeah.
So I just put it in a bowl, yeah. Put it in a bowl, sprayed it, and put boiling water on it.
Just imagine you crying at the Queen on your...
I think what it is I don't.
Was it just like an overwhelming moment of like?
Yeah, it's obviously.
Do you love the Queen?
No. It's not.
That's why he was washing the money. He was cleaning, keeping her clean.
Keeping the Queen clean.
Do you know what's really cash about this house? You've got a Selfridges bag for your recycling.
Selfridges.
So yeah, obviously we had to cut the tour short, postpone it until August, when hopefully things are kind of back in the swing of things. But it was a great tour up until, you know, what we did, wasn't it?
It was. We were on track for our longest tour.
One of the best ever crowds, I think, was Nottingham Rock City we've ever had.
And one of the most enjoyable ones was Bournemouth O2, wasn't it?
Yeah, the last one we did. Great venue.
Lovely venue.
The last hurrah.
I really enjoyed that little gig we did for Annie Mac at Lafayette.
Yeah,
that whole area was amazing, that coal yard thing.
Well, we've had a lot of questions on Twitter, because obviously we said we were doing the pubcast, not in a pub. And someone's put...
Publiscast.
Homecast.
Alfie Brown, Alfie spelt with a 1 instead of an L.
Indy.
Who's the worst to cope with on tour?
No immediate shouts there.
I think we're all right.
I think we've learnt to cope with each other.
We just do our own thing now.
Do you know what I think it is? Yeah, I think we all know. We used to, when we first started early days, it was like, oh, we have to do everything together. Let's do this together. Now I think we just like...
Everyone's got their own interests now, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone's found themselves, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, do you know what I mean? It's pretty easy, isn't it? I buzz off touring. Like, touring's my favourite part of being in a band is playing, especially UK tours. They're my favourite.
Yeah.
I just think the crowds I'm in every night. Do you know what I mean? It's just like the full production, it's full everything. It's like they're my favourite things to do as a band.
There's a really nice familiarity to it.
Yeah, even more than recording sometimes and stuff. I just don't know, there's something about playing live.
I like the studio equally as much.
I'm 50-50.
I like the studio. I do prefer tour, not equally.
There's a lot of waiting around, isn't there, on tour? I forgot about me and you, Tom. We were in Ireland, weren't we? Like fucking 3 days in. We were just in the dressing room like, what do we do? Couldn't do anything.
It is, yeah, you got like...
Not to complain.
Yeah. There is a lot of waiting around. You've got to keep your brain busy, haven't you?
Yeah, but it's...
Ham and crisps are, and he's in the dressing room.
Yeah, I love that there's a cosy element to it. And it's like, even though with doing this, it's really hard to get like a structure in a day. When you're on tour, it's really easy to get some sort of structure.
It's the most routine. Well, that and the studio.
My structure is waking up at 12 every day and just finding food. Yeah, I go to sleep at like fucking half three every night.
Yeah, do you know what? I hate the tour bus.
You were getting up quite late as well, weren't you?
Well,
the Donovan suite.
The Donovan suite.
Yeah, the first two, like the
you
first
had to
week,
move your, you had to move your mattress into the back room, didn't you?
Into the front.
I had a 3-hour nap last night, and it's the best kip I've had in 3 weeks.
A 3-hour nap?
Yeah.
That's not a nap. That's
sleep.
That's sleep. That.
Right. while we're on the topic of like, you know, being in bed and waking up, I've just come across this. Before alarm clocks, people were employed to wake workers up with a long stick.
Yeah, I've seen that on the windows.
A knocker up was a profession.
We talked about this. A knocker up. Didn't your gran used to talk about it, Joe?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Knock
sure,
up
we've there. Been at your house.
It was a profession in the 20s.
So we used to go down the street. Yeah, she want the 20s, wasn't it?
No, but I think my gran used to say
someone's
it.
Told us about it.
I think it was my gran's parents.
Yeah, we've been sat around the table and your gran's been like...
The knocker-upper, yeah.
Wasn't there... It's a similar time when there'd be people to light the...
gas
the lanterns.
Yeah. So they used to do that in the morning and that at the night.
The knocker-upper.
Yeah. That's a boss job, that. It's funny because when I was a kid, if my granddad was quite tired, I was like, how are you feeling? He'd go... Oh, I'm knocked up.
Well, like he's been woken up.
Wise words, Miles.
EDPB44 said, what's the opposite of a table?
What?
Not at
the floor.
You said a floor?
Yeah.
I didn't think of that. What's the opposite of a table? The floor?
Yeah, yeah. Or just a table. Yeah, just flip a table upside down.
I think the floor is right, yeah.
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 I mean, it's not the opposite, though. You walk on floors, you don't walk on...
But some things don't necessarily have an opposite.
This is funny. Leeds Ununited. Them Leeds fans is proper mental. And so he's obviously a Leeds fan. And he's put, who has the biggest feet? But we used to talk about this. Like, when Miles first joined the band, he claimed to have size like 13 feet, didn't he?
No.
Feet are pretty big now.
They're not that fucking big, though.
He used to come in with a fucking massive shit flickers. Like, couldn't get shoes anywhere. She's like, I'm size 30.
You've got the widest feet.
I never said
band.
Size 13.
It was 12. It was 12.
It was size. No, I used to wear size 12s because I had. I had.
To fair, you always have bunions now, baby. Do you need size 12s?
No, I have a tailor's bunions on the right. On the right. Ooh. But corner of my foot on the right hand side, yeah. And
corner?
Corner. Here's the fucking corner. What's that? The middle.
The side, isn't it?
It's the corner.
It's become a corner. Bunion,
it's fucked. I've got, it's like Donald
you know
the
it's
Duck.
It's a girthy foot, isn't it?
Donald the Duck flipper.
Do you know what? I've got fucking horrible square feet, mate. They're dead like wide. Do you know what I mean? Look at that. Especially when I put pressure on it.
Them socks look like something from the pick and mix at Woolworths.
Fucking Woolies.
Mike _ Man City. Who's got the weirdest, funniest 42's nightclub story?
Well, absolutely not me.
Go on, Josh.
We've definitely had some fucking nights in 42's. Go on, Josh.
So I was in there when I was about 17, 18 on the dance floor. That's cutting illegal. A few shapes. And this charming man came on.
Ooh, Jim.
And I was very merry at the time. And there was a group of lads
who?
Next to me.
Merry berry.
There was a group of lads next to me. I was very, very merry and, you know, jovial and all that. So I decided to rub this lad's head, and he stuck his dome on me.
Did he?
Headbutted me. Blood everywhere.
Oh, my God.
You rubbed his head?
Aww. Yeah. I was just trying to, like, you know, get him involved and all that. And then I got back up from the headbutt, and I said, what's the matter? Don't you like the Smiths?
As it happened. Going out, knowing you and going out, if someone rubbed your head on the dance floor now, you'd probably be like, get the fuck off.
You'd probably not.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd be like, fuck off.
Funny how things change, innit?
Funny how world.
Don't you
it's
like
funny,
the
okay.
Smiths?
Oh, God.
There you go.
Here's a good one.
I miss 42s.
I had a big up.
Go.
So, Doug's 000.
Doves.
Doug's, like, oh, D-O, Doug's. Like Doug's,
Doug and Dice.
The shop we used to go around here. Doug's, oh, Doug's 000 said, hey guys, I caught the recent snow Olympia. So I think he means the show at the Olympia. Okay. The Seeker sounds very heavy live. it's more like Sympathy for the Devil. I love it. But my question is, why was Cool Like You dropped? Thanks. We're going to have to touch upon the fact you call the keeper the Seeker.
Yeah, 100%.
Where's that come from?
He's obviously
from?
A Harry Potter fan. Yeah.
Harry Potter. Who's that?
That's like the books you'd find at You and Me.
Harry Potter.
It's Harry Potter. I told you, my dad, like, when I was younger, he used to get, like, these dodgy DVDs. I don't know where from. And one of them put in once, and me and mate George were watching him. What?
Just picturing your dad.
All right, and put it in, it came up, right? It was Harry Potter, and it was all mirrored, so it was all the other way
around.
Oh, man. And the advert, the thing came up, but it said Taru Nota.
Taru Nota.
Down. Like, you know, the beginning of it was like a fucking camera cord, like getting in place, you know, dead shaky. And then it,
oh,
like,
in the cinema?
Settled. Yeah. And halfway through, like, you see a person walk across it.
What's everyone's favourite Taru Nota? I like the Prisoner of Azkaban.
It was the Stone as well, and it said Taru Nota, and the Philosopher's Stone was something funny as well, but I completely forgot that bit.
Go on, Chas, think of something.
Yeah, I was, mate, the cogs were going there. Yeah. Can you see my mouth like that?
But, Taru Nota and
Prisoner of Azkaban is good. Half Blood Prince is good as well.
Yeah,
I could probably re-watch Harry Potter, Taru Nota, and all this time off.
Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to watch all the Star Wars. Cheers.
The Seeker.
The fucking Seeker.
I'm going to watch Star Wars in order. Not in order they came out, in order they...
Toby _parody says, how
Cavalry.
Does... Hey?
Sorry.
Go on. How does Tom get the perfect crease down his trouser leg?
What he does is... I stick him in a cheese toast.
It's just an iron, mate.
Pleat.
Do you know what I was going to say then? Actually,
we have wardrobes now.
Did someone say cool? Like, someone said cool like you with the question before it.
Oh, why? Oh, the Seeker guy said.
Yes. Why don't you play Cool Like You?
The song Cool Like You.
Yeah.
Because I can't be arse singing it.
Yeah, it's more of a Tom's voice. It's like hard to sing in it, T.
Yeah, and you know,
every night it'll be a bit peppered.
A new album. You're going to focus on the new tunes.
Exactly.
It's not gone forever.
We'd
do you know what I mean?
We prefer to play the Seeker, won't we?
Talking of Taru Nota.
Yeah.
The Mindful Rambler Yeah, Mindful Rambler says, what Hogwarts house would each of you be in?
Yes, let's do it. Miles, you're like Hufflepuff
or
something.
You don't know much about them two. What does Hufflepuff and Ravenclaw get up to?
That's what I mean. You're like the nerds.
This is beyond me, this. You're going to have to help me out.
There's not really much that you know about them. I mean, I've not read the books. I'm sure.
I don't feel like there's any Slytherins in the band, is there? You know what I mean?
I think Joe could do it. Joe's the closest.
Joe's quite Slytherin.
He's not evil, though, is he?
I'm full on Gryffindor.
No, you're not Gryffindor.
You can be a bully at times, but you're not evil.
No. But is everyone in Slytherin evil?
No, so I mean, there's
Malfoy's all right in the end, isn't he?
Yeah, but I mean, he did like
he's a shitbag, isn't he, Malfoy?
Yeah, but he's just scared, man. He's been brought up in the wrong family and that. Imagine your
His
dad.
Dad's a shitbag.
Imagine your dad is best mates with Voldemort.
That's fine. Miles, you are quite Malfoy yourself, though, with the blonde hair.
I'm not fucking...
And you're a bit of a shitbag.
You could be his cousin.
Fucking hell. I'll be his cousin in that, but I won't fucking...
Josh, you're quite...
called him a shit.
Hagrid. No, you're quite...
Hagrid.
Hagrid. Cheers. You're quite Sirius Black.
Which one's Sirius Black? You have to help me.
I'm not so good
Gary
with
Oldman.
Gary Oldman. Yeah, yeah.
Have you know what? You need to watch Tarry Notters when you're off now.
No, I've obviously seen the early Tarry Notters, but not... But this is many years ago. But bear in mind that the first one came out when I was about 23.
I was about three,
so...
Do you know what I watched today? Because Sophia says she's never seen it. School of Rock.
Oh, now that... All of us are here because of that.
Jack Black in... Someone was
Did
like...
we discuss this on the podcast?
No.
Right, okay, so we were...
Yeah.
We were doing...
we were doing...
If you know Josh, though, right. You know how ridiculous this is.
Yeah, you know, like, everyone listening to this,
Google Josh and look at him as you hear this story.
Right,
okay. Most people listening will know what Josh looks like.
No, but to reinforce it, just look at it.
Right, let's just to give you a visual thing, right? I'm 7.5 stone, right?
On a Monday.
5'8".
I'm 5'8", not very tall. I have to wear women's clothes. You know, I'm very thin.
What's your waist?
Very feeble. Size? 25, 6-inch waist. Size 6 feet. You know, I'm not... You know, I struggle getting in and out of cars, you know. So that... Me and... We were doing
Joel's
some...
just laughing.
We were doing some promo for when the album came out. When you do that intense week down in London. And me and Miles nipped out to Vapiano, which is like a fast food pasta joint.
A German-Italian.
It's a good bolo, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a real nice bolo. And sort of the general manager of the store was sort of pacing up and down.
He was eyeing you up, wasn't he?
He was eyeing me up. I was thinking, hey, what's going on here? And obviously, when doing what we do, you kind of have a sixth sense to know when someone's clocked you.
I clocked him with his phone. Yeah, doing it all that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he was doing the thing where
you can't see what I'm doing now.
Covertly filming, or just trying to show up, demonstrate something on the podcast.
I've got my phone in my hand and I'm trying to.
Another
sneakily filming.
You always know when someone's kind of looking at you, then looking at Google, then looking at you, then looking at Google.
He definitely wasn't looking at Google.
Right, and then.
What?
Go on.
But anyway, you could see him plucking up the courage, and he was kind of discussing stuff with the people behind the bar, and then. You have to address him when someone's being sketchy. I kind of looked at him. I was like, I made the effort to look at him. He said to me, "Excuse me, like, can I ask you a question?" I was like, "Yeah, yeah, go for it." And he's like, "Are you Jack Black?" And like, my initial thing was like, wow, I'm flattered. Well then, like, because I mean, Jack Black has been a huge inspiration for me over the years. Like, the first songs I ever learned with Tenacious D, School of Rock is the thing. But, I'm not being funny. Jack Black, you could fit 18 of me into Jack Black.
And the dude
has a huge beard. Like,
huge neck.
I mean...
That is mad.
That is, yeah. So I sort of, in shock, I just went.
Did you laugh?
No.
Miles,
no.
What did you do?
I was just shocked. I was like, yeah, what's going on here?
In the moment, it wasn't
what's
even funny.
What's going on here?
It wasn't even funny. We were genuinely shocked because the guy.
Do you know what, though? It's more so that he's like 50 odd year old man.
Well, I mean, I get
do you
that.
Know what I mean?
I get that a lot. But the thing is, he was annoyed when he walked away, wasn't he? Remember?
Oh no, he turned away and he like walked away and you could see him go, fuck. He was like, head twitching. He was like really annoyed at his son.
Yeah.
Are you Jack Black?
This one's good. Adam Morris Sutty. Who would survive the longest if worst comes to worst?
Right, well, we immediately know you're saying goodbye to me. First.
I think Joe would. Like, in terms of, like, you know, even like if you were on a desert island, you'd survive, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think so.
If things, you need little things sorting, it's always Joe's to go to.
Joe said before, if he was on a plane that was going down, he'd be able to save everyone. He said that.
I reckon I'd know how to fix a plane if it was going down.
Fucking hell.
That's the level.
No, that's the level I have to get to be all right. I reckon you'd be a close second, though.
Chaz?
Or if not first, yeah. I think if me and Chaz were a team, we're fucking going forever.
Yeah.
I'd just panic.
Yeah, you'd be tired.
I'm not very... Yeah. You know, I'm not fazed by things, really, am I?
That's the bit where I think I'd need you.
I think that's why me and Josh work well together in this house.
Because I'm fazed by everything.
Mm. There you go.
And Charlie, not so much.
Sunset Season Meg said, if you turn into an animal, what do you think you'd be? Like which animal matches your personality?
Well, Lewis Evans, our photographer, and more importantly, good friend. Yeah, he said I look like, it's called an eye, which is spelled A-Y-E, space A-Y-E.
Can you get one up? A lot of the time, yous reference me to look like a wasp.
You don't look like a wasp. You don't look like a wasp.
You just behave like one.
Apparently, I look like either a goose. Emily says I look like a goose, or I look like a bird, like a pigeon or something.
Yeah,
I've got like a weird nose, Anna.
Yeah, I think you're quite bird-like. Yeah, have you seen what these eyes look like?
No, let's see.
That's what Lewis Evans
says I look like.
Yeah, shit. But I mean, it's not looking.
You've got quite big eyes, I think.
Yeah,
Tom's definitely a sloth, I reckon.
Sloth.
What's Chaz? I reckon no, you're a cat, you know.
I'm not a sloth.
No, we're not saying look like. Okay, act like. You're.
What makes you say that, Miles?
What
did you say,
Charlie's
Charles?
Got very. You got very. You got
what did
very,
you say?
I said a cat, but Charlie's got very like chilled eyes. Where he's just.
Yeah, no.
His
Charlie's
eyes are always open, but like
Charlie's
just
a cat.
Chilled.
He just doesn't give a fuck.
There you go.
It's true though, isn't it? Like Charlie just.
No, I do give a fuck.
No, you do when it matters, like a cat. But there's some scenes where you're just like, I'm not arse. Like you just go with the
feel.
Like,
yeah, I've had owl a couple of times. Remember the owl calendar in the Whole Foods in the States?
Oh man,
Katie says I'd be a Great Dane if I was a dog.
I could see that.
Yeah,
because you're very tall and
quite tall and chilled. Like sloths are chilled, aren't they?
Trilled.
But I think going as far as a sloth would mean like I was unemployed and chilled, like didn't do nothing.
Fucking hell.
You know, like
no, I think sloths are employable.
The sloths stink, or is that just skunks?
That's skunks.
I'm sure more than one animal stink. Sloths. Yeah, all animals stink, actually, don't
so,
they?
Am I a wasp?
You know, is that an animal?
You haven't got
is
fucking
that, an insect in it.
You are no, you're a Labrador. Fuck me, you're a Labrador.
Oh, I'll have that every day of the week.
You're a Labrador. Who hasn't been neutered?
What? You're a Labrador trained. Whose ball has been thrown into the water and sank, and now you're like, where's my ball?
Oh, I thought you meant his balls. That's a fucking hell.
Venice Drowning says, where did Tom get that pink...
Fucking hell.
What the fuck?
It's a happy name, isn't it?
Where did Tom get that one pink suit from, you know the one?
It was originally white, and he put it in with a red towel in the water.
You can't kiss and tell, can you, T?
No.
Secrets are secrets.
Well, Zara women, but it's out. They don't sell it anymore.
Have you seen
people
buying pasta from Victoria's Secrets?
Pasta?
Not Ann Summers, sorry.
Pasta from Ann Summers?
Yeah, have you not seen it?
Oh, do they have like novelty pasta?
Yeah, so they've got like pasta that's shaped in like as knobs. Pasta's
right. No. Someone just said to us then, but I can't remember who the name is, so I apologise, but it said, would you rather have dicks for fingers or I think.
A finger for a dick.
You'd rather have a finger for a dick?
Yeah, because only one person sees it, and if they love you, it doesn't matter. It still can do a job, can't it? Whereas if you had dick fingers, that'd be well annoying all the time.
10 dicks. Couldn't be arsed.
I don't know, you know.
You don't...
Wait, so what is it? It's...
No, you'd have 11 dicks, so you'd have your actual dick if you had
the
dick fingers.
I remember the way
fingers.
You said it. Does that mean you would have... If you have the dick if you have dick fingers, you have your normal dick.
Yeah.
Dick.
Yeah, but imagine having, imagine trying to play guitar with dicks as fingers.
You'd be able to do bar chords, great.
Saw someone on Twitter before asking, can Tom talk through one of the voice memos and the song story, basically. So, thought we'd go for the keeper.
The seeker.
The seeker.
Seekos.
So the keeper, according to my voice memos, was conceived on the 24th of April, 4 days before my birthday, 2019. And it was one of them songs which I've heard other people talk about it, where it feels like it falls from the sky. And
for you?
For me, yeah. More the melody.
Didn't fucking fall out of the sky for me.
No, for me. The piano and the piano melody for like the you know, the hook, the verse and the chorus was all there, fully formed. Like this. Just started the piano one day and this just started happening.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Timing.
Sounds like the other ones.
Obviously, I've not got the words at this point, but I'm just playing what I think will be the verse. And then you get the chorus chords now. I had all the melody in my head, like what it would be.
You knew the melody, you didn't have words, you was like...
I had the keeper, actually. I had... You are the keeper. That's all I had, because it's saved as the keeper piano.
Yeah, so you knew what
so I would have had the keeper bit. So you can hear me playing that, and I think... I remember showing you in the yard once, I had this bit. I didn't have any of the words yet. But I was buzzing off it. I just played it for 2 minutes straight. You can hear the end.
Fucking boss.
So I say, fucking boss that. So I must have sat on it for maybe 2 weeks, which is a bit unusual. I had that piano bit and the word the keeper for a while, for maybe 2 weeks before I finished it. So I showed you at the yard. I remember being sat on that little chair, being like, I've got this piano thing. I remember at the time, I felt like it reminded me of, you know, I Don't Feel Like Dancing by the Scissor Sisters.
Mm, yeah.
I don't feel like
great
dancing.
Tune.
And the stomping, like, that kind of thing going on. So I sat on it and obviously I chipped away at the lyrics a bit more. It took longer because I wanted to get it right. And I had this idea on the verses to do like, you know, I wander through the, well, it was different. It was walk these streets instead of dreams at first. So whatever it's, you know, I was lost, but now I see. I wanted to do the...
You kind of answer your own thing, don't you, you know in the verses.
I was lost, but now I see. Yeah. See that floods is love
with
someone.
Yourself.
So I had this idea to do that on the verses, but obviously once I'd committed to it and got like a couple of lines, I had to do it for the rest of the tune then. So it took longer to finesse it, yeah. So then, by the 11th of May, this recording, I must have got the melody for the middle eight. I hadn't got that at that point.
To airborne.
But then I've got.
I gave you my heart to
just hold you. I'll stop.
It's like a Sims version, that, isn't it?
I gave you. I've got the end bit as well. I could hear in my head how I wanted it to sound, sort of thing. Then probably the next couple of minutes or whatever, or hour, I've saved as the keeper, and this is the full tune with the different opening line. James Skelly suggested changing the opening line to get in the keep. I wander through these dreams you keep, but my opening line was this.
I've walked the streets
to bleed.
Interesting.
Darker, isn't it?
What do you mean?
You bring light.
What does that mean?
I was sad, you know, I walked the streets to bleed.
What? I've walked the streets to bleed. Vocal.
Heart's done breaking. So I changed that myself as well. I could swear my heart won't break in time.
Heart's gonna break.
So it's there, it's formed, you know what I mean? So then we decided to make a demo of it, didn't we?
I remember this.
And we made the demo.
That was one of the demos where you really knew where the song...
A vision in my head.
Yeah, he was like, some songs you're just like, oh, what's it sort of be like this? And sit on a jumbo. He was like, no. At that time, you wanted it to be that, like...
I wanted it to just be like a bit... Yeah, like a kind of... Like, oh, that was the drums more.
Yeah,
it's just more like...
Sorry, I'm talking about for me. Do you know what I mean? Like what you said to me.
You knew it was going to be quite anthemic, didn't you?
Yeah. But it was probably a bit more...
The drums were the only things in the
baggy.
Demo.
It was baggier than it is on the record, like in the end.
Yeah, I think Jay wanted it to be straighter. Which I think is the right move for, like, radio play and stuff like that.
Yeah, so this is the demo. Which the original piano take of this demo is on the record.
I have walked the streets to bleed. I was lost, but now I see.
Like Christmassy in a way.
You
One goal's come in there.
Gated reverb.
Is that me or Josh's voice for Gone Bad?
See how the snare's like baggy, like waterfall.
It's so good, you know that.
So we had this demo and we all buzzed off it. And I knew at the time I wanted to get gospel singing on parts of the song.
Yep.
I've even got the email that I sent to Conrad and Dave with attachments to the lyric saying, can you find someone to sing like gospel singing on this? And I've attached the Killers, All These Things That I've Done, and Primal Scream, Moving On Up, saying I want it to be this kind of vibe. So then Dave Salmon got in touch with some people he'd worked with before, our manager. They came down to the rehearsal room, just two singers, and we just tracked it up to make it sound gospel, didn't we?
Yeah.
Which ended up sounding like this. And this is the first time we'd ever done anything like this on a track.
Yeah. Right.
Just added that different kind of vibe, didn't it? Which
that's what, like, the
I had this in my head from when I was sat there at the piano. Yeah, do you know what I mean? I knew straight away this is how it should sound. Let's spend this life as one until we had a whistle on it. Yeah.
Oh, I still do the whistle when we play it live in my head, yeah. You know.
Don't let it out. Demo though, isn't it? It's not too far.
Yeah,
we
got the one. This was the
released.
Last demo we did for the record. Yeah. As well.
Was it really?
Yeah.
All the harmonies.
Last tune are open.
All the harmonies are the same. The way they stack and stuff like that.
Yeah, so all this bit's the same, and the outro. It makes sense. James Kelly obviously.
100%.
James suggested the beat went straight. Just to be more a driving beat as well, isn't it? Just a different, based the snares in different position. Does it do it now, actually? It does it now.
Oh yeah, I start going past it.
But it's, that's where it goes straight at the end. And I wanted to tease it for ages, keep it baggy ball.
The amount of time stretching I had to do for that end bit on everyone.
On the demo?
Yeah.
The amount of time wasted for that demo.
Yeah, always, every time.
Then we went to the studio. So this is what it ended up sounding like. Obviously, you've all heard it. But this is when there's more the beat that's different. The snare, yeah, exactly. That comes with it.
Just makes it. One, two.
Yeah, you just cut. You're on it.
Straight in it.
And we added more synths and stuff. There's less synths on the demo than what Miles is playing there. They're not really on the demo,
no,
are they,
no,
Miles?
The only thing that's on the demo is Gannon and Organ.
Yeah. I love them synth parts. Are they on the Moog?
Yeah, the Moog. Well, that's it. Every time we do an album, we buy a new synth, and we got this, like, the new Moog that's come out, the Moog 1. It just opened up. We used it on everything.
Thinking, how are we going to get synths on like a tune like The Keeper? But then you hear it now, and it sounds weird without that.
It's
like the dreamy kind of synth part.
Nah, is it?
Welcome to Fitz's Fables with me, Grandad John.
Have you got any more?
Only the one about the coal board knocking on people's doors because a lot of equipment had gone missing.
Go on, give us that one.
The local pit, they've had a lot of equipment thieved, and they were knocking on all the different doors around the pit. So they knocked on one door and they said to the woman who answered the door, we're here investigating. There's been a lot of equipment thieved from the pit, and we've got to knock on people's doors to find out where it's all gone. He said, is your husband in? She said, no, he's not in here at the moment. She said, well, he's down the bottom of the garden working on his allotment. So they said, well, do you mind if we come in? We're not accusing him in any way of finching it. He said, but is it all right if we come in and can we go down the garden? Can we have a walk down your garden? to have a chat with him. She said, oh, don't be walking down. Go down on the conveyor belt.
My It's Not Hard Is It this week was, you know, obviously we had a strange couple of days on the last few days of the tour, knowing, well, it was all ifs and buts. Is it going to, you know, are we going to cancel it? What's the right thing to do? And then once we decided, like, yeah, definitely going to be cancelled, obviously coming home was, we'd heard so much about, you know, the fucking supermarkets getting rinsed and all that. Yeah.
Which is madness to bulk buy.
Yeah, like, you know,
we won't get into that, but yeah, please, but please, please don't bulk
think
buy.
About everyone. No, don't be selfish, please.
Yeah. But I was thinking, you know, the for people that had shown me photos and stuff was like, you know, there's no bread, there's no loo roll. So I was like, you know, kind of accepting the fact that there's going to be no bread.
Just literally toilet and shower, innit?
Yeah. Mine's more of the bread side, what my story is about. But when I've got a local post office near mine, you know, got back, emptied my clothes.
And your ass.
Good
you know,
that.
Sorted my clothes out, was like, right, you know, fancy a bacon butty. Went to the shop, you know, there was some fresh bacon in there, and there was a fresh Warby's loaf.
Glowing.
There you
the
go.
The orange ones.
How many? Ooh, just
toasty.
One?
Just one. There was a few other loaves left, but I like Warby's.
It's toasty.
And it was the Warby's toasty left, and I was like, do you know what?
It's not hard, is
not
it?
Not hard, is it?
Not hard, is it?
Well, that's about...
not hard.
It's a few yards from your house, that, as well.
Yeah, not far.
That shows a selfless community.
No, it does, yeah, it does.
I like that.
Yeah. I mean...
I don't. Or did I just get lucky and got in there, like...
You probably just got lucky.
Do you know what,
Tom? A bit of both, to be fair.
Doesn't matter, does it? It's the same thing.
But, you know, amongst the, you know, amongst the madness and the, you know, constantly checking your phone and the news, it was nice to have a bacon butty with Warby's love.
It did have a little note on it saying reserved for Tom Ogden, but, you know.
To be fair, it was one of them where I was queuing up to buy it. And you know when someone's, like you were talking about before, you know when someone's scoping you out.
Yeah.
And he didn't even say hello. He went, you were meant to be playing tonight, weren't you?
Charles, you had something you wanted to point out, didn't you?
I was just going to conclude with, you know, in times of uncertainty, which we're living through now, I want you to pick up the phone and phone someone. Well, I think you should pick up the phone and phone someone you've not spoken to for a while.
Yeah.
And just have a good old chinwag.
Good to check up on folks, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, even if you can't go around and see anybody, it's, you know,
yeah.
Do the good thing. And I think in times like this, you see the worst in people and you see the best in people. Do you know what I mean? And I think a lot of the best things will, you know, get people through.
My girlfriend said she's got a mate who sort of works for a few different charities and she sort of helps, you know, like sort of coordinate these charities.
Yeah.
And she said at this time when, you know what I mean, you go on social media and everyone's bulk buying, which is really selfish to do. And you know what I mean? People are just acting ridiculous. She's been overwhelmed with how many people and how many requests she has for charities that need help with the charities she works for.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think that's an important thing is that there's a lot of good as well as bad. And I think the majority of the people, hopefully, were, you know what I mean, looking out to help people rather than bulk buying for them selfish reasons.
You've got to remember as well that I keep forgetting, you sort of, it's easy to be selfish and go, oh, like, oh, why is this happening to me, whatever. Then you quickly realise that the entire globe has been halted by this. So it's kind of like everything, the world, I keep saying, you know, the world's on pause at the minute.
Yeah.
And the only way that we'll, you know, deal with it is just to be selfless and compassionate. You know,
and, you know, credit to all those people working in the NHS.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Credit to them all the time, then, aren't they?
Yeah, of course.
Thank them wholeheartedly.
More so now.
Do you know what I mean? The main thing is just buy our album again. So we can just keep doing stuff like this.
Really, really selfish.
Yeah, please just keep some funding us.
We put some merch online as well.
Yeah, we put merch online, actually.
We might have a few things in the pipeline as well.
We're going to try and do some, you know, from what we can do from, you know, the things we have, like being able to fucking play music together and all that. We're going to try and sort some stuff out.
We're working out now where we can get something out to people. Where
but we'll stay active for you guys.
We're trying our best to stay active as much as we can do.
Well, us five have been on a bus together for the last 2 weeks, so we can still see each other.
Yeah, we deemed that it was safe to meet in the way that we have, and we're still...
Joe's just picks everyone up.
Yeah.
Drops everyone at home, sound.
Yeah, there's lots of soap here. Lots of Dettol.
Lots of anxiety.
And lots of
clean,
anxiety.
Lots of clean cash.
Boss?
Has anyone got a light note to end it on?
I mean, that was a light note, wasn't it?
Oh, well, change of scenery. It's always nice to have, you know, different location in which to sit and chat, and despite the strange circumstances, we still had a laugh and drank tea instead of the usual pints that I always always drink. So yeah.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.